Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may notice that Pastor Phil cheers the loudest, and it's not just because he believes in us, although he does. It's because when it's quiet out there, it's really hard to preach, and he understands that. So he gives all of us that speak, he gives us what he'd like to get, and so I think it was a great reminder. It's like, oh, that's what he wants to hear. You know, we just agree together when Pastor Phil speaks, and he brings an excellent word to us throughout the course of the whole year. And so thank you, Pastor Phil, for being so faithful and helping to change and shape this church as God leads you. Thank you, Pastors Phil and Carrie, for the privilege this morning of speaking. So I'm not sure what time it is because I can't see, and so we'll just see how it goes this morning. And if it's time, then just get up and leave, and I'll wrap up. And so I'm really excited this morning about what God's doing. As Pastor Dan said, he is absolutely moving in really profound ways. And so that's part of what's big on my heart this morning. And so we're going to start this morning. We'll stand and read the word together. And it's a little bit of a chunk of scripture, okay? But the word of God is worth reading. And so if you can, we stand and we'll read this together. Hebrews 3, 12 through 19. This is powerful stuff from the New Living. Here we go. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose care lay in their wilderness? Crazy. And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. You can be seated. It's not like super crazy positive. We're reading about corpses and all that kind of stuff as we get going here. But it's a very powerful portion of scripture. I believe there's a beautiful promise for us in that. As we look at that this morning. And the main point of that scripture that I want to emphasize is that they didn't enter into rest because of the unbelief. And so if you take the reciprocal of that, it means that when we believe, when we're people of faith, we get to enter into his rest. Faith leads us into the rest of God. So I'm excited about that and where God's taking us. So as Pastor Phil shared just back from the conference, and it was amazing. We were all encouraged, and it was really neat to see God moving in really profound ways. The fellowship that we're part of believes in the power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of the Spirit of God. And we saw the Spirit of God move, and it's just amazing to see even young people stepping out and seeing lives touched and changed, and it was amazing. Now, one of the things that wasn't a surprise, although it maybe caught us off guard a little bit, is we heard a lot of people talking about the way that God has moved in this congregation over the last 2.5 years, as he has been so crazy faithful in our capital campaign in the 2020 vision. So profound, crazy stuff that other churches hear about and they go, no way. What happened there during COVID with all these things going on and all that? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. And so other people have heard about the great things that our God has done and the faithfulness of the people of God and are blown away and what it is that God has done. And so that was really neat to hear people going, you've got to be kidding me. God did what? And what was it like to be there to see all that happen and everything? It's just amazing. And you guys saw some of the miraculous happen. And we did. And it's easy sometimes to kind of move on and kind of forget that. So I'm just kind of stuck on that right now, sort of thematically. And I believe that there's some things God wants to do in me and in us as a church. We're not supposed to kind of move on. We're supposed to move in to what it is that God is doing, all right? And so they say the definition of a fanatic is someone who won't change the topic and you can't change their mind. And I kind of feel that way about this whole thing right now. It's hard for me to change the topic and it's going to be hard to change my mind. God has done amazing things and we're celebrating that. And it's incredible. And all of us got to be involved in that, as we've talked about. Our legacy partners as well. Some of you online right now are hearing this. We're involved in all this. It took every one of us to be involved, and the offering that every one of us brought to see God do the amazing things that he did. And so I'm just so grateful and humbled and so thankful for what God has done and what the people of God did. And it's really interesting looking back to this. Began with a kind of a burden about 2.5 years ago. As we met as a pastoral staff, Pastors Phil and Pastor Tom had been talking about this for a long time. Wouldn't it be great to be done? And then I think it was Pastor Carey that first said, maybe it's time. You know, maybe it's time. So we began to pray about it. And looking at the timing of the 25 years in this building, 50 years as a ministry, and prayed through it until we felt like, my goodness, this really is something that God is doing. And let's take this step, and away it goes. And so then ultimately we came to the ask. I think it was late October 2018. Where all of us were asked, what part does God want us to play in this whole thing? And if we hadn't played our part, then we wouldn't have seen God do what it is that he did. We had God ask, what is it that you're going to do? What are you going to believe me for? And so some of us took some time to pray, and we heard some stuff. I think it was really neat to hear even some couples where one person prayed, and they're like, what, God? And the other person's praying, and they're like, what, God? And they came back together, and it was like, well, what'd you hear from God? And the other person's like, well, why don't you tell me what you heard from God first? And, well, I don't want to scare you. We go, well, I don't want to scare you either. And so then you realize both of you are thinking, okay, it's a big, maybe something bigger than we really kind of have faith for. But we prayed about it, and so here it is. And so then people, it was just so neat to get, and God spoke to people the exact same thing. And like, yes, you know, here we go. And we're looking at all this. And so many people have shared that it was a miraculous sort of number that God put there too. Like, okay, this is big, and it's going to take a miracle. And so now we're in this place where we're going to really need to see God move and do something profound. And he did. And a couple Wednesdays ago, we had these praise reports and so many profound things sharing. Ella Bonnie Quick shared that she got 5 raises in 2019 alone. Wow. It was just absolutely crazy. And on and on and on here in the praise reports. And it's crazy. Now, I might not be remembering it correctly, okay? But as we've heard all these praise reports, we talk about our 2020 blessings. I look back to pre-October 2018, and I don't think we heard the praise reports that we've heard over the last 2.5 years. And maybe, like I said, I'm remembering it wrong, okay? But I believe that if I'm wrong, we stepped out in faith according to what God was doing, and then we started to see God bless. We started to see God move. We started to see him do profound things. And what we also didn't hear, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, was people saying, I took everything that God had entrusted to me, and I hoarded it to myself, and I'm rich now, and so happy. I'm so happy. And I just want to praise my unholy name for what I have done. For myself. I have yet to hear any praise reports like that. But what it is instead is we go, this is what God put on my heart. I stepped out on this whole thing, and he moved miraculously. And it's a good thing, because I needed a miracle-working God to accomplish what he put in front of me and asked me to do. And I love it. It's been absolutely profound. So I want to take a little bit of a look at some of the things that God has called us to as we move ahead. And what I believe he's called us to steward now. I think we're supposed to continue to be faithful and faith-filled in the stewardship adventure and finances. But there's the rest of our lives, too. If we took a pie chart, okay, our finances would maybe be a quarter or something, I don't know, of as we look at kind of, oh, I've got this to steward, this. Finance is just a part of it. And so I feel God calling me, anyway, to say, so now, what are you going to do with the rest of all that you are? You trusted me with your tithe, okay, with the finances. But what about some of the other T's that we mention as Christians a lot of times? Your time, your talents, okay? We did the treasure thing. Tongue, we talk about. I've heard people even put trash in the list of T's. What do we do with our trash? Which can be some of our thinking, some of our baggage that we've got, being a good steward of the resources God's put around us, all those things. And so what are we going to do with that? So I want to talk about stewardship a little bit this morning, and some of the opportunities that God has for us there. All right. I believe he wants us to continue to walk in belief so that we walk in rest. All right. So 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this: moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. Okay. So God's called us to be stewards. In this passage of scripture, Paul is talking to church leaders, not necessarily pastors, but church leaders, which is really supposed to be all of us. We all have a role, an area to lead in the church. God's placed us all here with resources, with giftings, with talents, all those things. And he's asking us to be faithful. So I kind of broke this down. I studied this out some in the original language, some, which is what you're supposed to do when you preach a message, not just share your own thoughts. It's good to like study the scripture and be a little bit scholarly, even if we're not like hardcore theologians, but it's really important. Required, I looked that up, and really simply it means demanded. It is demanded of stewards that they be found faithful. And it's like not optional. Okay, required kind of sounds a little bit like maybe there's an out, maybe, you know, it's required. No, it's demanded, all right? There is no uncertainty here at all in Scripture. It is demanded of us as stewards that we be found faithful. So then the next word, steward, kind of the next big word in this whole thing, in the Greek, 36:23, it's kind of cool. It reminds me of Scott Economo, okay, Economos, and what it really, an old friend of ours here at Living Faith Fellowship, he's a great guy. And what it means is a household manager or a steward or a treasurer, okay? So a steward is household manager. You think of maybe Joseph and Potiphar's house, all right? He didn't own anything there at all. He was just a household manager of all that Potiphar had. He was entrusted with it. And then the scripture says that God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph's stewardship. God's blessing was on Joseph. So it's a household manager or a treasurer. That's really the role of a steward. We're stewards. We're just household managers. We're just taking what God has entrusted to us and trying to manage it well for him and his glory. It's his stuff, all right? It's his house, ultimately, right? It reminded me of Alec Rowlands, the pastor of Westgate Chapel over in the Seattle area. He was telling us about where his burden for revival came from. And his father, when Alec Rowlands was very young, went to a church that was desperate for some help. Things were really a mess. There were about 30 people in attendance, and there were all kinds of problems. And he said probably the least of the problems, he felt like he really shouldn't get into all the issues that were happening there, this little church in South Africa. But one of the problems was the church treasurer would show up at the end of the service, get the tithes, and he would take the majority of it for his own use, and then have a little bit in the church to record. That's what the treasurer was doing, okay? So that's not a treasurer, right? That's a thief, right, okay? They probably didn't like give him a name tag that said thief on it, right? That'd be kind of awkward, you know. Here's our church thief. Like to meet brother, whatever, you know, whatever. But he wasn't a treasurer, right? A treasurer is someone who takes the money that's been entrusted to him and stewards it wisely, takes good care of it and all that. And so as we're looking at the scripture and look at how this is laid out for us, I'm just blown away because as Pastor Tom shared over and over again in our campaign, 1 Chronicles 29:14, we've given God only what he's given us. We've only given back to him what came from his hand. And so that's kind of what we are. We're taking the offering, so to speak, and going, okay, I've just got this to steward, to treasure, and as a treasurer, I'm just going to give it back to God. It's all his in the first place. It's his. We're just here to be stewards. So the next word is required of stewards that they be found faithful, the Greek word there that some of us might be familiar with, it's going to sound a little familiar as pistos. It means full of faith and believing, full of faith. It is required, it's demanded of us as household managers and stewards that we be found full of faith. Right. Faithful doesn't necessarily mean just consistent. It means full of faith, believing God for who he is and what it is that he's calling us to. And we really saw that during the capital campaign. And I believe that it brought me and maybe others of us here in this congregation closer to really understanding that, living that out than maybe we ever have. Full of faith. Just going, I'm gonna take this, which is God's anyway, and I'm just going to go, God, what is it you want to do with it? And just, it's yours. It's yours. I think historically it's been easy to kind of go, okay, I'm going to maybe give a lot or what feels like a lot to me. But it kind of flipped the whole thing on its head and it just said, I'm just here as a household manager. I'm just here as a steward. I'm just here as a treasurer saying, God, it's yours. And so what is it that you're asking me to do with it? And he goes, okay, if you're asking, all right, if you're asking, here's the ask. Okay, if you're asking, then I'm going to put something in front of you that's going to challenge you. That's going to require maybe a miraculous element. And that puts us in a place of going, I've got to be full of faith. I've got to be a believer here as a Christian and trust God that he's going to do something profound with this. And in fact, he did. And in fact, he did. God answered that. Pastor Phil mentioned the Holders, Pastor Steve and Sharon Holder. And they sang a song there at the conference. And it's an old Carmen song, actually. And it's kind of sad to me to say an old Carmen song, because I just don't think of Carmen as old, but now he's even gone on to glory. Hallelujah. And anyway, but he wrote the song, and it says this: "Fear not, my child, I'm with you always. I feel every pain and every tear I see." He says, "Fear not, my child, I'm with you always. I know how to care for what belongs to me." And as they sang that, I was thinking about that, and I was just struck by that's really a lot of what our capital campaign showed us. He knows how to care for what belongs to him. He knows how to care for what belongs to him. And I really have this option every day in life to decide, am I going to hang on to it and go, hey, this belongs to me, and hope for the best? Or am I going to say, you know, God, this is yours. It belongs to you. You know how to care for it. And so if I could just give this to you and you take care of it, maybe that would be great. Is he not good? Did he not take good care of our offering, which is all his anyway? We saw him move in radical ways. He takes great care of what belongs to him. So here's something he put on my heart. And maybe if you remember one thing walking away from this today, it'd be this: stewardship isn't defined by what I've given. It's defined by what I'm keeping. Stewardship isn't defined by what I've given. It's defined by what I'm keeping. That's what really establishes that treasurer who is a thief. Okay, it didn't make him a treasurer. He wasn't defined as a treasurer because he gave some to the church. He was defined as a thief because of what he was keeping, right? A treasurer doesn't keep any of it, right? And so stewardship ultimately is defined by not what I'm giving. It's not mine to give. It's really the litmus test is what I'm keeping. What is it that God has entrusted to me that I'm keeping, saying, hey, that's mine. It's not yours. Am I a treasurer or a thief? And that's been a really challenging thing for me to look at. He takes better care of it than I ever could. And so why would I keep it in the first place? Worse yet, why would I take it back once I've said it? Yeah, okay, yeah, it is yours. What am I holding on to that he's asking me to let go of now? He takes good care of what belongs to him. Will you bring that box up? I think we need that. Yeah, thank you. So, not long ago, a bunch of the students at CCF got into Rubik's Cubes, okay? And they were invented when I was like in junior high or high school. I didn't totally look it up. And so these 3x3 Rubik's Cubes, a lot of you are pretty familiar with and everything. And I actually became pretty good at solving these. The first time I solved one, I took all the stickers off and just put them, you know, back so they looked right, right? Some of you have done that, you know, and did one side at a time. I felt pretty good about myself and pull them off. But I realized after a while, the stickers don't stick like they should and everything. It becomes pretty clear that you're a cheat because the stickers are falling off. People see a Rubik's Cube. They go, you did not solve that. Half of the stickers are missing. There's one way that happens. It's from the peel cheat move. We've all seen it. Okay. So then I figured out how to take it apart, you know, and put it back. Anybody else figure out how to take it apart and put it back together? There's the other way to solve it. That also is a cheat. And they get sloppy after you've done that about 20 times. People can tell they're sloppy. They go, oh, you're a break it apart solver person too. So maybe you can just tell. All right. You can just tell. And so anyway, the college students are kind of getting into this. And these are mostly Spencers. A couple of them are Jake's. Spencer got pretty good at this. And Spencer can solve one of these in like 30 seconds ish. All right. He can solve one. And that's not me. He's rusty. He told me this morning. But he can solve them pretty quick. Yeah, Spencer, why don't you come up just on the side here? You can do this while video's playing. Yeah, great. Okay. All right. You can get going. And while Spencer's doing that, okay, let me just show you. The other thing is that they got into him and it got crazier and crazier. This is Jake's, by the way. Spencer's were solved. Jake's wasn't, right? Yours is solved. I'm not going to give you a solved one. You'd solve. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, okay, you got it. Okay, so they got into it, and that got too easy, which it may not be this morning. Spencer's sweating profusely right now from drumming earlier today. So there's the 2x2 here, okay? I mean, the 3x3 just got too easy. The 2x2, I know. It's called the dice. I almost got a dice because I was thinking that too, all right? And then here's the 4x4, and because the 3x3, you know, the algorithm is just too whatever. Here's the 4x4, all right? And I'll go here for now. Here's the 3x3x5. okay? Yeah, and you go, why? You know, and so I'm like, that's a sticker peel for sure. For sure. You know, I'm not even sure how to rotate these things through it, okay? So again, Spencer, when he was pretty on top of it, he'd been doing this a lot, about 30 seconds, he could solve one of these, all right? And are you getting there now? You getting close? Okay, is it getting close? No, you just keep going. Okay, there was a world record set kind of in the middle of this madness, all right? I want to show you this real quick, all right? Check this video out. This guy solved three of them in 5 minutes and 2 seconds. But three of them in 5 minutes, 2 seconds, but he did a little bit differently than you might expect. Check this video out. Solved them while he was juggling them. Watch. Watch him, grabs, he knows exactly where it's at, what needs to happen, keeping track of three of them, and flips it, click, click, click. So if we get to the end, he's getting there. World record. No good? Almost there. Okay, come on up here, Spencer, real quick. Okay. So, you can watch that video. It's 5 minutes and 2 seconds. It's kind of, actually, they cut it down, cut it a little bit too. It's worth watching. This guy, he's keeping track of each one and where he's at in the process of solving each one and flips it real quick while he's put it in the air and keeps track. I just can't. I can't solve what? Without peeling the stickers off it or taking the whole thing apart. And I look at that and it's pretty incredibly dizzying. And Spencer is 3, 2, 1, done. Yeah. Nice. Okay, see here. See here. Yeah. Wait, just a sec. Okay. No. This is my illustration, not yours. Okay. So I don't know.
Work it more, man.
Yeah. Okay, so when we look at stewardship and everything, all right, to me, that is kind of what life is like, where you go, okay, I've been given this thing to solve, and I don't even know how to do it, okay? I'm going to have to peel stickers off it, whatever, to get this. I'm going to break it, to try to put it together, messing the whole thing up. And it's like God is saying, okay, I'm entrusting this to you, all right, and I want you to take care of it. And you go, okay, that's hard enough, okay? This is overwhelming to me still. I know a bunch of you can do this. I can't, okay? And then so life's happening, and then God goes, okay, and here's a 4x4 to take care of two, all right? And then here's the, yeah, kids, right? And here's a 3x3x5, okay? And he's like, oh, that might be a little too easy. And here's the 3x3x4x something, whatever thing. Here, you hold that. And then he goes, now let's also throw in the 11x12 dodecahedron something, whatever, polygon, okay, whatever. And in case that's too easy, there's a 7x7. Spencer has the middle of that one side solved and was done for the year. So, oh, there's two sides, three sides. You got a few sides, four?
Two sides.
Okay, great. Got the center. Yeah, nice. Okay. And so I'm picturing myself. Okay, Spencer, you're going to, I don't think anybody's going to be confused by this, but you're going to represent God for a minute here, okay? And so, be good, God. Okay. All right. Okay. So I feel if God's entrusting us with these, all right? And again, I can't even handle the three by three, all right? And I'm going, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this, how we're going to get this done, whatever. And you see that kid up there, which is, again, I just don't understand. I don't even understand. He's got to have like 8 times the IQ points I have. I'm not even sure how to spell IQ, and he's solving that. It's just unbelievable. But I can just see God juggling this. Let's just kind of go to the slow-mo, okay? So you're just like super slow-mo. Like up there, right, like that, or whatever. Okay, and then he says, and then he gives me this one, okay? And I'm going, I don't know what to do with that. And he's juggling not just 2, 3, 4, but, you know, a million of these things and everything. And God just, and I'm like, okay, I'll take this one. And he goes, bottom right one. And so I go, right one. He goes, good. And he takes it back, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And so then he hands me this guy, and he goes, what's there, whatever. And he's got the whole thing figured out. He can juggle it all. He can keep track of the whole thing. And he just gives him one at a time and just goes, you know, top left one. And so top left one, and he just goes, well, just super slow-mo. In slow-mo, you can see what's happening a little bit. Still can't understand what's happening in that kid's mind. It's unbelievable. He's 12, I think, all right, in the thing. And he's 12 years old. And again, freaks me out, blows me away. But God goes, I got this, okay? And he goes, if you really want to try to juggle them, you can't even juggle them in the first place. You can't solve a Rubik's Cube. And so to try to do both at the same time, right? And he goes, so how about you just give me these, okay? And he can just stop motion at super slow-mo and just tell me top left one. I go, oh, okay. And so why would I take back from him what's his in the first place? So many times in life I'm going, God, I have this problem, and this problem, and this challenge. I'm not sure how to take care of this. And he goes, can you give me chapter and verse on where it says it's all yours? Can you give me chapter and verse that says it's your problems, where it's your money, where it's your time, where these are your resources? If you just give them to me, I can juggle them all. I made these in the first place. I've got it all. And here and there, I'm going to tell you, here, you take this one and go bottom left two. I can do that. Can you take it back, please? I'd be happy to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how it works. Thank you, Spencer. Great job, man. Cool. Awesome. He knows how to care for what belongs to him. All right. He didn't bring us this far just to bring us this far. He's been faithful, and may we be found faithful in stewarding what he's entrusting us with next. I think we've learned some powerful lessons with finances, and he's saying, you gave it to me and look what I did. Now don't take it back. And I'm going, God, I don't want to take it back. I want it to be yours. I want you to continue to do whatever it is that you want to do. We don't necessarily have this same goal in mind that we had before, but we still have the same principle of stewardship. And so, God, help me be a faithful steward of all this. God, I just want it to be yours. I just want it to, it's yours. It's yours. Please take it. And he's saying, I'd be happy to. I'd be absolutely happy to. I think the great lie of the enemy is simply this. He's been using it for a few thousand years, right? And it's the oldest trick in the book. And he says this. The lie is that God is withholding what we really want, and we're just one selfish grab away from fulfillment. God's keeping from me what I really want, what I really need, and I'm just one selfish grab away from really being fulfilled. It was a lie 6,000 years ago. It's been a lie for the last 6,000 years. It's a lie today, and we still believe it. We still go for it. We buy in, and we sacrifice what it is that God has for us. It's incredible. Paul is speaking to the believers that are gathered in Miletus in Acts 20. 35, and he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The great lie is that I need something, I need to receive, and God's saying, just give it, just give it. It's more blessed to give than receive. So to touch on these real quickly, time. If he's asking us, I think time is part of the ask. He's saying, will you give me, you gave me some treasure. You relinquished that back to me, maybe. Whatever. And he's saying, will you give me time again? Ephesians 5:15, I believe this is part of the ask. It says, look carefully, then, how you walk. So powerful. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The days are evil. And we need to be wise with the time that God has given us. And a lot of us say, oh, if I just had more time, if God would just somehow give me 25 hours in the day. And he's saying it's not an issue of time. In fact, there's a song that used to be at the beginning of Pastor Phil's messages on Carol F. And a little more life in my day, not time. He said, I need more time. And he's going, you need more life in your day. And it's interesting. One of the lines there, he says, you've given me all the time in the world. God, you've given me all the time in the world. We can't have more time. It's so funny. If I only had more time. He's given us all the time there is. All the time there is. And so if we've got a time issue, we've got a stewardship issue. What does stewardship of time look like? And it's not pulling away or shirking from the needs of the people around us throughout the day. I believe it's serving those in need. We've got some health crises here in our church. We've got people stepping in to help in profound ways. I believe he's calling us to come home and serve. Instead of coming home at the end of the day, those of us with families, kids, roommates, whatever the case might be, instead of coming home and going, having the who had the hardest day contest, you know, oh, how was your day? Oh, man, it was crazy. You know, it's crazy. We talk about it a little bit. And how was your day? Oh, it's crazier than yours. You know, and I had a crazy day. Okay, so you won the crazy day award. Mine was an 8. Yours was 8.5. I'm here to serve you because you had the harder day. And so you did. I mean, we kind of play these games sometimes subconsciously without even really thinking about it. And we're robbed of the blessing because we, again, start to become, instead of a treasure or a thief, we start taking that which isn't ours in the first place, grabbing onto it, saying, I need this. I must have it. And I'm one selfish grab away from fulfillment. If I could just have that, then I'll be fulfilled. And he says, it's more blessed to give than receive. Are you tired? Give. And watch the blessing comes. Watch the blessings come. It's amazing. He's calling us to that. Taking personal time, even vacation, to serve an opportunity. It's amazing. Looking back at Easter, looking back at our drive through nativity, there are people in this congregation that take personal time off from work. They get it ahead of time to be able to just go, I'm going to serve and make this happen. I don't want to take their crowns in heaven or whatever, but incredible people going, I'm just going to serve. I can say this, I think, just fine. Matt Early, who is an incredible part of things here for years, and he's doing ministry now in Alaska. When he finished the JCD program and he was employed at U of I, he took a week's vacation at the beginning of the school year. Just to reach out on campus, just to be up on campus and invite people to church. I took personal time off, just had to be up there, getting a sunburn, doing whatever, you know. And a lot of us going, that's kind of a challenging time. I kind of avoided it a little bit, be great. I got the extended bathroom break going on right now. And Matt understood that he wasn't one selfish grab away from fulfillment. He was a one selfless move away from really seeing God move in profound ways. It's just going, my time is God's. How is it that I can serve? How is it that I can bless other people? Let's look at talent real quick. And we've got this 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces. It's incredible. God's given us all gifts. And he's given us these gifts not to serve ourselves, but to serve one another. The gifts that we've been given, the talents we've been given, the resources that we've been entrusted with aren't here for self-service. They're here to serve other people, to glorify God. And the issues in our world and our nation today have really been exploited by the enemy, I believe, to divide us. Pastor Phil's talked about that. We talked about that at the conference some. And we just divided. People have different opinions about vaccines, different opinions about masks, different opinions about how we're supposed to respond to the government, all these things. And what we've done is we've just kind of pulled back from each other, and we're encouraged over and over again in Scripture to move toward each other in service, to move toward each other in love. And it's so easy to become divided. We can't serve who we don't love. It's impossible to serve who we don't love. And we are gifted for the benefit of others. We've got what we've been given to benefit others, and it will find its great fulfillment in it. I talked with Dr. Daryl Merrill, again, who spoke to us last week, and he was saying that really, we don't really even see these things segmented in Scripture, and the early church fathers, the founders of the early church, didn't really break it apart because he said, it's all Christ. It's all in Christ. In him, we live and move and have our being. We can't just go, I'm going to give this one part of me to Jesus without it being the other. I believe God's calling us to say, how is it that I'm supposed to live all in for Jesus? What is it that I'm supposed to say, God, it's yours? What is it that I'm holding on to? I'm kind of showing up at the end of everything and kind of taking my cut and giving God a little bit. And he's saying, that's not a steward. It's a thief. And when I feel like I can't trust him, I can't do it anyway. And he said, will you just give it to me? You go, God, gladly yours. You know, we see kids, 1-2-year-olds saying, mine, right?
I want it. I want it.
And I think sometimes later in life, we come before God and say,
I don't want it.
You know, it's yours. But look at the mess that we make of it when we cling to that which God has entrusted to us to be good stewards of. Just say, God, surrender it again to you. It's my joy to just surrender it again to you. Take it. It's yours anyway. and you can juggle it all and spin it all and solve it all. Well, there's no hope for me except to yank stickers off and hope they stick back somehow. And nobody's fooled. I can't keep it together. Would you just take it? Would you just take it? Some people talk about worship is supposed to be, you know, this posture. We're here to receive. And I think a lot of times worship is this posture. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Would you take it? Chuck this up, God. You just take it. You solve it. I can't. I don't get it. So what is it that God's asking us to give to Him afresh today? What is it that we can trust Him with? He's simply asking us to be all in. I can trust Him with my career. I can trust Him with my spouse. I can trust Him with my family. I can trust Him with my finances. I can trust Him with my children. I can trust Him with my significance. I can trust Him with my security. I can trust Him with my purpose. I can trust Him with my rest. I can enter into rest as I walk in faith, in belief. Matthew 6:33 reminds us over and over again, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, which is a beautiful way of saying something so simple and profound. If I'll just seek God first and give it to Him, He'll take care of everything that matters to me. I've got to put Him first. Hebrews 3:19, because of unbelief, they didn't enter rest. Jesus is asking of us, He's asking of me, He's asking of you. Will we just let Him take great care of what belongs to Him? It's going to take faith. It's going to take believing that He can do miracles, and He does. And He'll bless us. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Whoever blesses others will be refreshed. And the world says the opposite to us over and over and over again. If you want something, you've got to go get it. And God says, if you want something, you've got to go give it. And it'll come. It's going to require faith. It's going to continue to require offerings. It's going to continue to require sacrifice. But it's the only thing that'll get us there. If my offering doesn't need a miracle, it isn't an offering. If my sacrifice doesn't bring some pain, nothing was sacrificed. And there's no faith. And there's no rest where there's no faith. We're just juggling Rubik's Cubes. We're hopeless to solve on our own. We just need to give them to God. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the profound things that You've been teaching us. We're so grateful. And God, we know it's not done. God, we pray that it would be something that is transformational for every one of us, that we're able to say, God, I'm just looking to You in faith. That God, we wouldn't be robbed of the beautiful blessing of just being stewards. We just let go and give it back to You and be a faithful steward, one thing at a time, one care at a time, just saying, God, it's Yours anyway. I give it to You. Oh God, show us where it's time to let go again, where we've grasped and we're holding on to something that we cannot solve in our own efforts and strength. And we give it to You. And God, let us talk about 2021 blessings and 2022 blessings. And maybe they're so profound we're starting to break up into months. We've got the May 21 blessings and the June 21 blessings. God, we just want to walk in faith like that over and over and over again. God, let it not stop. Let it not end. Let us not take it back. God, we just give it to You as people of faith. We thank You. We love You. We trust You. In Jesus' name we pray.